Welcome, everybody, to Leagues HQ, a Basketball Victoria podcast. Ted West here, and we have Sarah in the studio. Sarah, welcome back to the office. How are you feeling? We're done with our regular season. We're into semifinals and grand finals. Is the stress still there for you?
Yes, the stress is definitely there. Trying to sort out fixtures for the weekend is definitely not easy. Last week, with only the four semi-final games to try and fixture, that wasn't too bad. But now you're adding in three conferences, so plenty of games to try and be sorted out, and we are getting there. So once that's over, we'll sort of stress a little bit less for a couple of days and then gear up for some big semi-finals and also the Northwest Grand Final.
I like it. Well, for a first season in CBL, it's been an amazing competition. All four divisions, both men and women, been super successful. So congratulations as we lead up into finals. We have our Gippsland men and women here. So we'll start with our Gippsland men, jumping into the week that was round nine. We had Traralgon, who took down Lakes Entrance 93-55. So they have effectively won the minor championship. Traralgon leaving Pakenham in second place. I think they sort of finished there regardless, I think.
Yeah, so that one just pretty much finished on a head-to-head. Yeah. Which we were talking about last week, Traralgon defeating Pakenham earlier in the season to make sure they were one up in that sense. And it's come down to that to make sure that they've taken out sort of the minor championship, as you said.
Yeah, and then we also had Mafra and Warrigal, who took what did they? They versed the two bottom teams. So it was basically a third and fourth, I think it was, that took on the two bottom of the table teams of Sale and Banzell. I think it ultimately made things a little bit harder for any other team to make it into that top four. I think Wonthaggi was probably the only one that had that chance. But Mafra and Warrigal finishing their season strong with two wins, with Warrigal just falling short there, finishing fifth.
Yeah, so Warrigal were able to get the win on Saturday night over Sale, 127-74. So that kind of put a stop to Wonthaggi just having their slim outside chance of the finals berth. So we were talking about last week, they did have the head-to-head over Warrigal, but didn't have it over Mafra. So they were relying on Sale really digging deep to get a win over Warrigal on Saturday night, but unfortunately they were sort of swimming upstream between the two games that they had, also taking on Wonthaggi on Sunday as well. So Sale battled super hard, but Warrigal and Wonthaggi in both their respective games were just too strong.
Yeah, but I mean, look, they didn't make finals, Wonthaggi, but still to finish on a positive note, getting that win on Sunday, I think they ultimately can't be too upset about it. You know, winning or finishing a season with a win definitely makes that a little bit of a difference, changes the sort of celebrations at the end. Just that little bit more, but we jump straight into finals here. So 1v4, 2v3, we have Traralgon taking on Warrigal in our first versus fourth. It was Warrigal back in round three who took down the T-Birds. They scored 30 points in three of their four quarters, so safe to say there is very limited teams who are able to allow that and still get the win.
Yeah, this is going to be a great one. Looking at that, obviously Warrigal having the one up over Traralgon, they were the only team to defeat Traralgon all season. So I think that really puts them into a good place. Obviously they have finished in that fourth spot and they are fighting against first, but knowing that you can get up and over the team, I think puts them in a great place going into the weekend.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Daniel Whitfield with 32 and Murray Myers with 23 back in that clash. But, I mean, you got the duo of Cody Tibbles and Zach Bazina for the T-Birds who, you know, have been dominant together. This is a powerhouse duo, though. I think they've been probably one of the best across the entire board of CBL. So those two are definitely ready for finals, and no doubt they're two going to show out with, you know, 20 plus a piece.
Yeah, this is just going to be a great battle to keep your eye on if you're not getting down to Traralgon. Also, keep an eye out on My Hoops as well, just to follow along with the live scores and see what's going on as well. Because even just seeing the scores and how it goes, it'll be one to sort of keep an eye on.
Absolutely. But then 2v3, you've got Pakenham who are hosting Mafra. Now, this is an interesting one because, you know, Pakenham have got the upper hand. They did defeat Mafra by 20 points back in round six. But this are two teams that just sort of win by committee. There's no one player in either team that it is stand out. They all sort of have their chance. They jump in and they have an effect on both sides of the floor. So two teams win by committee. It's going to be really interesting to see what actually happens in this and what unfolds with both teams now three on the trot. Yeah, so there's momentum from both sides. There's no one player that needs to be properly scouted any more than any other. Like, this is going to be a seriously interesting one.
Yeah, another one we've really got to keep our eye on this weekend. Like I said, it's really team wins by both that are getting them the wins on the board this season. Pakenham's obviously been super strong. Taking that loss to Traralgon was the only real blemish on their record this season.
Yeah.
So seeing how they go up against Mafra, who have probably been a little bit up and down, I think, with ins and outs and things like that. So it'll be interesting to see what Mafra team come this weekend and then how Pakenham then try and counteract that.
Absolutely. As we move on to our Gippsland women here, we have Warrigal, who finished off their season 8-0, I think. They're one of two, maybe one of three, one of two teams that finish undefeated. So a massive effort from them. They defeated Sale 77-53. So they are the minor champions for Gippsland women. Sarah Anamassi, an amazing effort by this Warrigal group.
Yeah, Warrigal have just been sort of the team to beat throughout the season. I think them and Moe have really toughed it out all year. Moe obviously taking the loss to Warrigal last week, I think it was, off the top of my head.
Yep.
So they're going to be two teams to look out for, but Warrigal have really just been the team to beat throughout the course of the season.
Absolutely. Now, I had all this written down, so if I'm wrong, be sure to let me know here, but the top three were effectively set in stone. You had Moe, who was 6-1 before the weekend began. They finished still second place after a loss to Morwell. So you had Warrigal first, Moe second, Currumburra third. Currumburra had the weekend off, so they were just able to watch and see sort of what unfolded as they were going into finals. I think they were a seal in for third position. I don't think they could have moved up or down. So it was all Morwell here. They had the Saturday night win over Moe, which had put them, I believe it was 4-3. And then they faced Pakenham on the Sunday. Now this, I think, ultimately was the game to see who was going to finish in fourth.
Yeah, so we had this one listed as our game of the round for all our women's teams. You would have seen that on Instagram if you're up on our socials as well.
Yeah.
And I think it lived up to just that. Pretty much like other games we've had, it was pretty simple. You just had to win.
Yes.
And that was getting you into the top four. So Morwell obviously getting their win over Moe on Saturday night. Real credit to them. Moe have not been an easy team to beat. I know Moe had a couple of outs. You had Ellie Coots, who has been an average double-digit player. So I think that probably impacted them a little bit, but yep. I think you'll see them bounce back heading into finals. But Morwell still had to get the job done, and they sure did. And then come Sunday, up against Pakenham, both suited up probably limited players. So Morwell suiting up 8 and Pakenham only suiting up the 7. So quite small on the rotations, but Morwell just made sure that they got the job done and got up and over 69-51.
Yeah, it was such an interesting game. I mean, the first quarter, Pakenham were off. They were 11-2 before Morwell came back and then a timeout had to be made at, I think it was 14-3. So Morwell weren't doing as great before Pakenham made a run, I believe. I might have this the other way around, to be honest. But then, you know, Orwell had Morwell. Orwell? It's definitely not. Morwell had their own run before. So there you go, 20-14. Now, the second and third quarter is where something happened. I don't know what it was, but Pakenham, they sort of just dropped off. They had 9 points in a second, 8 points in a third, and Morwell just continued.
Yeah, I wonder if sort of only having two subs sort of got to them through that point when the pressure's really on And if you can't always make a change, it's probably really hard to bring out something fresh and different in the lineup and be able to push on. So I wonder, I'd like to have seen what would happen in that game, but I do wonder if that was a big impact for Pakenham.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they fell ever so short. 4-4, Morwell finished 5-3 to get them into that four spot. So we jump to our finals here. Warrigal sitting on top. They're now facing Morwell here. It was Warrigal in round four who took them down by 27 points. It was a 35-point quarter in the third by Warrigal. So this team is just incredible at scoring the ball. But from my point of view, I see two MVP candidates that are just going to match up against each other, and it's going to be awesome to see with Samantha Labros and Emily Shelters.
Yeah, both players have been big for their team throughout the season. Also for Warrigal, you have Sky Rees as well, who's really stood up as well. So it's kind of a double-pronged attack there with Warrigal. If one's down on scoring, the other's really stood up, or they both stand up. We have seen them both in high points together in a game as well to really make sure. But Emily as well for Morwell has obviously been fantastic, like you said. So it'll really be a battle here. Warrigal, like we've talked about, probably been their season so far. But Morwell taking down Moe, they've got a bit of up and about with them. So see how they go this weekend. I'm sure they'll absolutely take it to Warrigal. I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, a couple of points in it.
Yeah, 100%. I think, and this is sort of, you got to sort of find this within the stats and here even on the statistics page of the 1 points. So the amount of times that Warrigal are getting to the free throw line, I think just seems to be more than everyone else. Labros has made 33 and Sky Rees has made 27. So I think the amount of times Warrigal are getting to the free throw line, whether I'm right or wrong here, I could be wrong. But if that is the case, Morwell need to keep them off the line to get this win. Moe and Coimbra in our second matchup, our 2v3. It was in round two, Moe that took down Coimbra by 16. Moe have dropped their last two games here, whilst Coimbra have had the week off. So a bit of an interesting swing as we come into this game. Not as much momentum from either team here, so I'm not too sure what we're going to be expecting in this final, but I know for a fact that this is going to be so close.
Yeah, it's one that could go down to the wire. If we look at round eight, where Currumburra did take the loss to Warrigal as well, so both are coming in on obviously the bye for Currumburra, and then as we were talking about Moe taking the loss, probably not the form they want. Like I was saying though, Moe probably had a couple of outs that impacted them, so look to them to build from that.
Yep.
And I'm sure with the week off, Currumburra will be coming out fresh and firing as well, so keep an eye on that one. I think this is also one that could go down to the line. Both were battling for that two or three spots, so we'll just have to keep our eyes on where this one goes.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we can almost say that for every single final coming up of the scoreline is inconclusive until it actually becomes final. But Alana Arneson from Currumburra, I think, is going to be a key piece for me. So eyes on her this coming weekend. Northeast Men, as we jump to our other divisions here. Wallen cruised to a 9-1 record over the weekend, winning by a staggering 60 points. So it is the Panthers who finished on top with an amazing record, one of the best across the men's division. So congratulations to that group. We then saw a second versus third preview on the Saturday night with Seymour hosting Wodonga. Seymour won every single quarter except one, with Jesse Brock finishing with a fantastic 28 points.
Yeah, this conference was all about ladder positions for this weekend, and home semi-finals were on the line. Like we were talking about, Seymour got their revenge on Wodonga after an early loss in the season. Jesse Brock, like you were saying, finishing with 28 points, including four threes. And it was going to look like Seymour was going to take top spot after that win on Saturday night. Yeah. They just had to get over Shepparton, but Shepparton were out to sort of make their impact in the finals. They did finish up in fifth, but they wanted to make sure they could do what they can to ruffle some feathers, and that they did, defeating Seymour by the 4 points on Sunday. It was just an interesting one. It really went down to the wire. It really could have gone either way, but Shepparton just made sure they finished off there. We then saw Wodonga scrape home against Albury to lock in third. So Wodonga winning by the 1 point. I also had a look. They didn't score in just about the last 3 minutes of the game. So it really looked like Albury was just going to run them absolutely down and take that win and potentially take that third spot. But they were just able to hold on to keep them at bay just enough to get over the line by the 1 point.
Yeah, crazy, crazy conference here. There's been a lot of talk, I think, within this conference. I don't know for a fact, but I have a feeling that a lot of these teams and all of these players know each other on a personal note. So there's always that conversation during the game and after the game. There's always love when they're shaking hands. But I have a feeling that this is one of those divisions that is really close and a lot of players know each other. So awesome to see what's unfolded here. 1v4, Wallen taking on Albury. It was a close battle back in round 7 with Wallen winning by just 5 points. So Albury 100% took it to him. Can this be one of the big upsets we see in a 1v4 battle? Jack Saunders didn't play in that game back in round 7, my guy, playing at NBL 1, now up in, was he East, I think. Wallen's Dylan Lombardo, Philippi, and Dion Stacey are such a tough group. Actually, it's Lockie Lombardo, I think, to be honest. Those three are just so dominant when they play together and when they're clicking. You know, you got Ryan Philippi, who's a backup point guard in NBL 1 South, and he's averaging 18 points per game. He's made tremendous steps forward in recent times, so this is going to be super exciting. I really hope to see Jack Saunders on the court here because he can light it up when he wants to. He is magnificent. Sarah, we then have Seymour taking on Wodonga for second and third.
Yeah, so another replay of Saturday night, basically. It's going to be back in Seymour at the Sports and Aquatic Centre as well. So it'll just be a repeat of what's pretty much happened Saturday, but it'll just be about can Seymour sort of obviously learn from Sunday, but also go back to the form that they found on Saturday night and see if they can continue that theme they had against Wodonga. Obviously took the small loss to them at the start of the year, but it was in Wodonga. From memory, they did suit up maybe 7 to 8 players, quite a small bench.
Yep.
So I would look for them to be at home to have a full team, a full crowd, and really try and make sure they lock in their place in the grand final.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we've got a special guest in here, but Sarah, I'll ask you a question just before we jump straight into it. You got William Stewart from Seymour, who is currently second in the leading scorers, with averaging about 17 points per game, and then Eric Miraflores, third in scoring. I think he's just behind. I think it's 16 point something. So out of these two, who is going to lead and who is going to be scoring more in this clash?
Picking out of those, so I'm probably going to go William Stewart. However, when I did watch the game in Seymour, Patrick Green just lit it up.
Patty Green, yes, he did.
So I am actually going to go against both of these that you've listed in front of me, and I'm going to go Patrick Green. Just from what he was able to do, light it up from three, but also get in the paint as well and score a number of twos. I'm going to actually vote him to be the leading scorer from that game this weekend.
That's great. Thinking outside the box. I like that a lot. Well, speaking out of something outside the box, we have a special guest here, Tom O'Connor. Welcome, Tom. How you feeling, mate?
Yeah, well, thanks for having me, Ted. Looking forward to being on the pod today.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourself, someone who's played CBL for quite a while. So where are you from? Who do you play for?
Yeah, so year 7 now, up with the Blasters. So since returning from high school in America, reached out to coach Craig Hockley and just a bit of a connection back to when we were in under-20s.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to get back involved with him and learn from him and, back with the Blasters.
I like it. One of the best logos, in my opinion, in CBL now. 2024 season, you've somewhat come off a bit of an injury last year, sort of way pre-season, so before your big V of 2024. How are you feeling after this entire year jumping into CBL? How's the 2024 season been for you?
Yeah, it's been really good for me, the confidence to get back out on the floor and feeling confident in my ankle alone early in the season was definitely a challenge, but now getting through the season, playing more minutes and just being stronger, it's really helped. And obviously winning games does help with that. But Craig's been awesome for me as well, the confidence that he's reinstilled in me with my basketball.
Mm.
has driven me to be that leader on the floor and continue further with it.
Yeah, nice. So your team this year, so you're in a semi-final again. So second versus third, so you are hosting. Last year, you guys fell ever so short in that semi-final, losing to Benalla by, I think it was 17 points. You're back here for another chance. How does this group feel? Is it a different group, a more fresher group, or is there different sort of thoughts around this year? What's the feel going into it?
That last year, Benalla was unreal, Ted. They came out 22-0, I believe it was, in that game, and absolutely torched us, and we were chasing the tails the whole way. But the focus of the group this year, core group had returned, Jack Murphy, Harry Stones, talk about William Stewart or Wall before, and then Zach Donahue as well and myself, we all returned and we set ourselves a bit of a gold standard of what we want to achieve as a group.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's a bit of bit of history for Seymour that we don't miss many finals, and we want to make sure we're always there at the pointy end of the season. And we've got our own little goals that we keep ticking off each week and being competitors. We love it. Small little town of Seymour, taking on some big dogs, and obviously Wodonga is one of those bigger towns, and you got to be able to show up ready to play every week. And yeah, I know the boys are session tomorrow night. We make sure we get ready for the semi-final.
I like that. Well, talking about your session coming up, is there anything you guys are focusing on specifically without giving too much away, obviously?
Yeah, there's things you always are going to, especially from Saturday, there's things we're going to take away from that game, but we know that if we trust in our processes that we've done all year, we know we're going to be able to come away with a result that's going to be in our favour. I'm sure Craig's head home and getting that session plan ready for us tomorrow, that it'll be a focus of offence, defence. There's always things that he comes up with, and not to overcomplicate it at this time of the year for us. Keep it simple. Keep, as I said, trusting in the processes that we've done all year.
I like it. Last little question here. I'm not going to ask you how your team's going to go against Wodonga, so I'll go to the other game, Wallen versus Albury. Who is your tip?
It's going to be very close. You talk listening earlier of no Jack Saunders, and I think he plays a huge key in that game for Albury, but I wouldn't write off Sam Hawkins and the alike.
Yep.
I'm not sure, Ted. Could go right down to the wire. Gee, rivalry could end up either way. It could end up as Albury Wodonga, or it could end up as Seymour Wallen.
I like that. I like that you said that, because, you know, so we Sarah said that before, that it's going to be anyone's game in every single clash of these semi-finals and even the grand finals that we get to later. So that's actually a really good response. I like that from you, keeping it very civil, which you usually don't.
Yeah, I'm
joking. Tom O'Connor from Seymour Blasters, thank you for jumping on today, mate. It's been a pleasure.
No, thanks for having me, Ted.
Awesome. Sarah, welcome you back as we continue on to our Northeast women here. We had a top four confirmed. It was so much more about where Albury and Wallen would finish, who would face the undefeated Myrtleford in the first week of finals.
Yeah, so like we were talking about Warragul, Myrtleford were also the other team that were able to go undefeated throughout the season. So big credit to them. Shepparton did try and take it to them this weekend, but unfortunately did go down by the 20 points. However, for Shepparton, they finished off really strong, winning the last quarter 18-12. Mm. So really just finished their season off quite nice. Just to be able to sort of win quarters, I think, for them, just being able to tick off those kind of wins is what they should really hold their head high on. But then we do look to this weekend where we do see Myrtleford taking on Wallen. Wallen's probably been a little bit up and down, in
yes.
my opinion. I
yes.
think they've had some good wins, but then some not great losses as well. Probably a little bit of inconsistency in the team that have been able to pull together. So it'd be really interesting to see what team they're able to put on the court and see if they are trying really able to take it to Myrtleford, because I think they can.
Yeah.
It's just about, do they have everyone available in their squad to be able to put their best foot forward?
Yeah, I fully agree. I think that 37-point loss on the Sunday probably doesn't truly reflect what could happen this weekend. Myrtleford, obviously, like you said, being the other undefeated team here, there's no doubt that this group of girls are going to be something special this coming weekend and possibly in the week next. But from my point of view, it's this other game. It's the Wodonga versus Albury clash. Like we had Wodonga who beat them by just 1 point on Sunday. So again, a somewhat preview of what's to come. Kajana McCowan, she was an all-star five in Youth League One women in the 2024 Big V season. She could be a dual MVP. I think she's a possible MVP candidate in this Northeast women. So to be a dual MVP for the year 2024 would be something amazing. But these McCowan sisters are fantastic. You've got Elizabeth Murphy, who's been huge for Wodonga, the leading scorer and another possible MVP candidate. She's averaged 25 points per game for the entire season. So a massive effort from her. But this is the game that I think is going to be super excited. Like we said, a one-point victory for Albury last weekend. But now anything can happen this weekend, as we continue to say.
Yeah. I mean, much like the weekend just gone, obviously the one-point win in that women's game, sort of the cross-border battle is what I keep calling it, so I'm just going to make it that.
Yeah.
Don't know what it's actually called if there's a name, but I'm calling it the cross-border battle. So we had, like you were talking about, Kajana McCowan. She gave Albury the lead, secured the two with probably about 20 seconds ago, I think I looked at. Yeah,
too hard to say, isn't it?
Yeah, just a rough guess. We're going to say about 20 seconds. She's been big for them all season. I think she'll be big in this semi-final again. But like you were talking about, Elizabeth Murphy, she's been scoring some massive points throughout the season. She's been big in every game she's been a part of. We've also had Molly Moylan scoring some big numbers. I know she had a 40. I think it might have been last week off the top of my
head.
That's
unreal.
So props to Molly for that one. I think if she's playing, she's also been one who hasn't probably been in every game, probably about half of the season or so. So it'll be interesting to see who everyone suits up. But like it did last week, I think this one is going to go down to the absolute wire, and I don't think you could pick who's going to win.
No.
It's going to go either way.
I don't even think I can even ask you if we're allowed to pick who we think is going to win.
I'm going a no. I also don't think I could pick a winner. I don't think if you life on the line, you said you have to pick who's going to win. I don't think I could do it.
I think you're right. The amount of times we'll probably just have to flip a coin here and it's heads or tails. In so many of these clashes, it's actually awesome to be a part of. Southwest Conference, we start with our men again. Man, Gambia were fantastic over the weekend. They went 2-0. So much momentum for them leading into finals, hosting on the Saturday night as they finished in second place. But Sarah, correct me if I'm wrong. Last week, this was sort of one of the conferences, if not the entire conference, that we just had no idea what was going to happen. These ladders were so intertwined. There were so many possibilities. I think this was the conference in both Southwest men and women.
Yeah, this was the one that you just couldn't pick what was going to happen.
Yeah.
I was going to see how things went on Saturday night, to see how things went on Sunday and what sort of games were going to be the important ones that were going to be pretty much life and death, elimination final if you were going to make finals. And I think it did sort of go that way when we look at the results. Saturday, probably in the men's, cleared things up a little bit more. We had Ararat who defeated Portland. But Portland, it's just their poor start that just had them on the back foot. They went down 30-14 in the first quarter. Credit to Portland, though, they did then win the last three quarters, but the damage had been done in that first quarter. It was just too little too late. Nathan Hardingham showed why he was in the All-Star 5 team last year for Portland. Mm-hmm. In 2023, All-Star 5, finishing with 31 points. Big by him, but just not enough to get over the line, going down by 10. That sort of put them out of finals contention. We then had Mount Gambier defeating Colac on Saturday night. So that one also just made Colac's finals chances just that bit harder.
Yeah.
They had to win on Sunday and just had to make sure they got it done. We then obviously looked on Sunday to Colac playing Millicent. Pretty much the winner was going to lock away fourth. From my understanding is they hadn't played during the season, so this was going to be the only head-to-head that it could go off if Colac did get the win.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have put them in if they did, but Millicent were just too strong, winning by the 9 points, 83 to 74. Colac started off super strong.
They
28 to 22, getting the jump early in that first quarter, and then scores were still locked at three-quarter time, so heading into the fourth at 59-all. But Millicent just ran rampant in the last quarter, outscoring Colac 24 to 15. So they just made sure they put two hands on that fourth spot and took it and ran.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Nelson Forbes with 20, Harry Mules with 18 as well. Fantastic effort from the two of those guys. As we look to finals here, we have Horsham hosting Millicent. Not the most pleasant game to watch back in round five, with the Hornets taking the win by 39 points. Having lost just the one game, it was way, way, way back in round one. So Horsham have had this massive momentum from round two all the way up to here. You could say they're the clear choice to win this game, but Millicent had a fantastic weekend over the week that was. Millicent have three players in the top 10 of scorers, so nothing is said and done until the game is over.
Yeah, this is going to be big. Horsham have just been unstoppable.
Mm.
Looking in that first game, from my knowledge, Austin McKenzie did not take part, and he has been a big point scorer for them throughout the whole entire season.
Yeah.
So would be interesting to see if he had have played that one, would we have had three undefeated teams? We'll never know. But like you're talking about, Millicent have three top scorers in that 10. They know how to put the ball in the hoop, get points on the board. So it'll be interesting to see if they're able to put the pressure on Horsham, but they're also going to have to work hard in defense to be able to contain someone like Austin. But then there's also a number of other players who can stand up in that Horsham team and have. So it'll be about what they can do in the defense to try and stop Horsham putting points on the board, because we know that Millicent can.
Yeah, 100%. I think my two immediate keys here would be Mitch Martin. From Horsham, offensively, you got to find him around the three-point line. For defensively, Millicent, got to run him off that three. And then Jackson Bowden from Millicent, he's made 44 free throws. So you got to keep this guy off the line, whether they're and ones or you're actually putting him on the line. He's got the most in the entire conference, I think the entirety of CBL. So those 44 single points, which I'm assuming they're going to be free throws, they got to limit those as much as possible. Mount Gambier versus Warrnambool. Mount Gambier have scored over 90 points in their last four games. That's an incredible stat for Mount Gambier. Two games where it was like 94 and 97 in the last 2 weeks. They had, I think, one where they scored 118 points or something like that 3 weeks ago. They've only dropped one game for the season as well. They dropped that one to Horsham. These guys look so good as well.
Yeah. This one, again, I think it could go many different ways. Mount Gambier, obviously, the champions from last season, and big credit to them for that one. They've really made sure they're looking to try and get into that grand final again. But Warrnambool, I think, are quite a young team, a lot of young talent across the board.
Yeah.
They have scorers everywhere. They were really up and about early. I think for most of the season, they were in that top spot. They played a lot of their games early, so I think that also makes it a little bit hard to sort of look into. But they've secured that third spot, put themselves in a good place to take on Mount Gambier. So it'll be interesting to see where this one goes. It is obviously a home game for Mount Gambier, so Warrnambool will be doing the travel. So whether that impacts them a little bit, we'll sort of wait and see. But travel's a big part of this Southwest Conference, so I would like to say it shouldn't really impact anything, but a home crowd for Mount Gambier is always going to be big.
Yeah, absolutely. Southwest women here, Portland hosting the grand final. As we spoke about last week, a massive opportunity for the town of Portland. They were also hosting a semi-final here. We'll get to that in a second. A conference which has had so many outcomes this weekend. Went really, really well for some teams and then not so well for others. Yeah, I mean, Gambier and Millicent, who had fantastic weekends, they both went 2-0. Whilst Warrnambool and Colac dropped both of their games. So It was a tough ladder to see last weekend, and it was, again, a very tough ladder to see this weekend, as only one team was not going to make finals.
Yeah, this one just went many ways. Spots 2-5 were up in the air heading into the weekend. Millicent were able to get two really convincing wins to secure their home semi and finish second. Mm-hmm. It's really big for them. We had Poppy Venn, who finished with 52 points over the weekend, so big in both games. And Colac and Mortable, really, one of them just needed a win to get that fourth spot. Yeah,
pretty much.
That's literally pretty what it much. Came down to, playing both the SA teams over the 2 days, so flipping who they were playing. It just meant it went back to head-to-head, which they did play twice, so it did make it a little bit more interesting.
Yes.
Colac winning the first time they played, but then Warrnambool just had the bigger margin in that second game, so that then pushed them into that fourth spot. And I think if Warrnambool can get going, they're quite good, and I think they could really push Portland, who they'll be facing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it was only the 7 points of difference in those two games. So Warrnambool, like you said, dropped the first one, but then won by 15 in that second game. So it was just 7 points, the difference between the two. But I think you're right. Portland being fantastic. I mean, 7-1 record speaks for itself. But Warrnambool's Lara Clark is definitely a standout for me. I think the Mermaids definitely need to feed her the ball and give her options early. Also, whilst, you know, making sure that the when all these other girls are on and available and free and open, that they need to knock down some shots, because obviously she can't do it all by herself. Will the week off affect the Coasters, Portland Coasters? I'm not too sure. I do think Portland might be a little bit too strong. Alana Strawman and Summer Millard seem like the top two for Portland. So it's going to be interesting. I do think Portland might be a little bit too strong here, but we never really know. Warrnambool had a fantastic weekend. Sorry, they didn't have a fantastic weekend, so I'm not too sure how they're going to go here. But Millicent and Mount Gambier in this second game, a second versus third, 1-1 in this little series. So, again, we don't know what's going to happen here. Millicent won by 2, and then Mount Gambier won by 8. So this is going to be one of the closest clashes we've ever seen here.
Yeah, this one's going to be really good. And obviously with two SA teams, hopefully there'll be a big crowd, because you're talking about 30 to 40 minutes between Mount Gambier and Millicent. So I'd like to see some people take the travel down to Millicent, who will be hosting, to get up and around the girls from Mount Gambier as well. Obviously, Poppy Venn has been massive throughout the season, yeah, and has been backed up really nicely by Mackenzie Burke. So yeah, two young players really doing some great work on the scoreboard. You also have Tennille Heumann from Mount Gambier, who's also super strong, was the MVP from last year. So I don't think you can count her out for trying to make sure we have Mount Gambier in the final again, trying to obviously do one better than they did last year where they came runners up. So I think this one will go down to the wire, obviously looking at the scores that they've had between the two from this season. It's been super close in anyone's game, so I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking much the same. Will we have overtime in this one? Who knows?
That's a good thought. We've never really come across that, to be honest. It's never been a big discussion point on this podcast. But whether it does or not, who knows? You can never count it out. It's actually such a regular occurrence in the game of basketball. Northwest.
Yeah.
Now, you were at some of these games on the weekend. We had some awesome outcomes. We had our semifinals here. So it is grand final time this weekend. Bendigo, I believe, are hosting both those games. But the semi-finals that were jumping straight into the men, it was Bendigo that defeated Mildura 89-75.
Yeah, so obviously a repeat of the match from last week. And Mildura did show that they did do their homework and that they worked really hard on trying to sort of shut down Bendigo and close the gap on the scoreboard, which they were able to do. They did reduce their margin, but unfortunately their season has come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
You had Jack Bakewell and Drew Pillmore scoring 23 and 20 respectively. They've battled so hard for Mildura all year and have been big for them throughout the course of the season. But Seth Anderson, 30 points in a semi-final is massive. And he just made sure that Bendigo had the chance to go one better in 2024 and try and take home that championship.
Yeah, absolutely. Six made from the Land of Plenty as well. Again, something we don't really know what the percentage of was, but if you're making three from behind the arc, you're doing something right. So a massive game by Seth Anderson. I think Bendigo are always going to be the front runners in this game against Mildura. I know Mildura had to take a quick timeout. In the second, I believe it was, Bendigo had a massive run. Mildura was sort of able to nudge it back a little bit leading into halftime, but I think by the looks of it, Bendigo just sort of had control of that game all the time. When Mildura had a little bit of a run, Bendigo were right there to make theirs just out a little bit more. So a fantastic effort from both sides, Mildura. Awesome to have gotten that far, but we'll be seeing Bendigo in the grand final this coming weekend, and they'll be coming up against Castlemaine after defeating Backers Marsh 99-73.
Yeah, this looked like it could have been sort of the biggest game of the weekend. After last weekend when these two matched up and it went right down to the wire, it looked like it was going to go the same way for this weekend. Obviously, much like Mildura, Castlemaine showed that they had learnt from their encounter last week, which saw them go down by the three to Backers Marsh, sort of right at the end of the game. We had Josiah Patterson starred for Castlemaine with 23, but it was just the multi-pronged attack by Castlemaine. I think you said it before, win by committee. I haven't heard that term before.
Win by committee. That's
I quite
it.
Like it. Very much that kind of play. He was shut down a little bit in periods of the game, but then others stood up. You had Chris Hogan. He was big, getting tips in the rebounds. That was probably the one big thing I saw in this game was Castlemaine, rather than trying to, you know, battle to rip the ball down, they were trying to tip it out to each other, especially in offense. And that worked really well for them when they were missing. They'd get a tip and someone would pick it up and then they'd have another crack at it. Yep. And generally they were scoring out of that one. So Castlemaine were just big all over the court. You know, Backers Marsh battled super hard. Castlemaine did really try and shut down sort of their key players. You had Mayle, who's been big for Backers Marsh this season. He finished with 14, which is probably a little bit down on his points. He's probably been in about the 20s.
Yeah.
And Castlemaine, from when I was watching, were really trying to hassle him and rush him with his shots, really trying to work him. And I think they just got the better of them in the end.
Yeah, look, I think ultimately, if you're giving up numbers in each quarter of 24, 24, 25, and then 26, I don't think you've got a very good chance of winning it if Castlemaine are doing that consistently, scoring around that 25-point mark every single quarter. Whoever it is on the other side is going to be struggling to get that win there.
Well, that was probably much Backers Marsh for the season, though. I had a look, and they had the most points for. So they could score, no doubt. And obviously when you score in the most points, you're obviously letting probably a little bit more through in defense if you're getting some big wins. So it was probably much the similar story for Backers Marsh. I think it was more on the offense where they weren't able to probably put up as big a numbers as they have been able to throughout the season. I think 73 for them is quite low in their average. I think they were mid to high 80s, probably almost pushing 90. So it's probably a little bit off what they'd been putting out throughout the year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll look to the grand final here. Bendigo versus Castlemaine. I believe it's all up on the PlayHQ website at the Red Energy Arena, 8 p.m., I believe it is. From my point of view, I mean, you got the O'Brien brothers paired with Anderson from Bendigo. The three of them just work so well together. And then on the other side, you got Josiah Pattinson. Can he do something special this coming weekend? We know he's done things in the past that have been tremendous. Like you said, he got sort of shut down a little bit throughout that game on the weekend it was. But, you know, can he pull something and just go absolutely off? His teammate Chris Hogan needs to shoot the absolute lights out for Castlemaine as well. I know he can. He's had some games throughout this competition where he's just gone absolutely ballistic, but he definitely needs to get some points on the board.
yeah, this match is going to be an absolute cracker. If you're anywhere close to Bendigo and have some free time on Saturday night, come down. The link for the tickets is through our social media page or through Bendigo Braves as well. But if anything, their last encounter, round 8, so the last round of the regular season, so only 2 weeks ago, was a 3-point margin. They did meet each other also in round 1, where Castlemaine did get over them in the double digits, but I don't think that's credit to Bendigo and what they've been able to do since then. But Bendigo, they have big scorers and big scorers across the board, very much multi-pronging attack. You shut down one, someone else is stepping up. So it's going to be about what Castlemaine can do defensively, and they are the best defensive team. So they're the best defensive. Bendigo are the second best in attacking. So it's really going to be a battle of the two ends and see who's able to sort of pick up on the other end. Castlemaine, are they able to pick up in their scoring, and Bendigo, are they able to lock down in their defense? To see which one of those pick up on there, I think that's going to be where the game's won and lost.
Absolutely. Well, we'll jump to the other side of our Northwest competition with our women. Again, semi-finals time, we had Bendigo, who were just too good here, defeating Backers Marsh 91-64. We keep talking about this Bendigo group on men and women now. They had 5 players that were in double figures. Again, a statement you've already heard me saying, and I'll explain it to you later, but a team that just wins by committee.
Yeah, they have all season. It's the same between their men's and women's team, and that's what makes these Bendigo sides so strong. Like I say, you shut down one player, someone else is stepping up. Someone else is then stepping up. You do rotation, someone else is coming on and they're stepping up as well. They're just so strong across the board. We obviously have Backers Marsh in their first final for their women's as well. So big congratulations to them. And they battled super hard. We had Jelena Savic make her return to the court. She's been out for a few weeks with injury, and she ended up finishing with 26. So she really showed why she's a player of the future.
Yeah.
But just this Bendigo side just continuing on their way to try and go back-to-back, obviously being the winners from last year. So we'll see what they're able to do come this Saturday.
Absolutely. On the other side, you had Kyneton, who defeated Mildura 67-56. I actually think Greg was the one who picked this last week.
Yes. So Kyneton and Bendigo have a bit of history when it comes to grand finals. And I know Greg was saying he's been to a couple Kyneton versus Bendigo grand finals.
Yeah.
And we're obviously looking at just the same thing again. But Mildura, they came out of the blocks hot and early.
They did. What, 9-23 in the first quarter?
They were just nailing threes left, right and centre. They were getting up and about. I will say, Kyneton Stadium, quite an interesting setup. I wish I should show you a photo later. It's like this A-frame. So it's the roofs are quite low at the side. When you're sitting in the seats, it feels like the roof's on top of you, basically. Yep. But what I found was, crowds weren't massive, but the sound that echoed through that stadium,
it made it sound
it
big.
It was so loud. So in the first quarter, when Mildura is up and about, there's probably a handful of Mildura people there, obviously some parents and things, but the sound they were able to make, it was insane.
That's so good.
Then obviously Kyneton picked up a little bit. They do have, you know, Michelle Fletcher, very experienced player, really just – they ground out this game. That's what I'm going to say. You obviously had Ava Zatto. She's been key for Mildura this season.
Mm-hmm.
She got up early. She was scoring, getting so many rebounds and just driving hard through the offense. Mildura rebounded really well in this game at both ends of the court. If, you know, one of their shots just missed a little bit, they would hustle for that rebound, and they were getting it probably 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
But Kyneton were just building this pressure, and I think their bench really got up and about. Their crowd got up and about. A few people probably walked in after halftime, and that started to build sort of the sound that was happening. And that pressure just came to a boiling point at the start of the fourth quarter. They'd really built through that third quarter, outscoring Mildura 14. So that meant that it was only a 5-point game going into three-quarter time. Kyneton, like I said, defense, they just got the best of Mildura.
Yeah.
Mildura only able to score 7 in that last quarter. Again, another team that were low on rotations. But Kyneton just found a way to win. That's probably the only way I can put it.
Absolutely. I mean, you have a look at the spread of scorers here. You've got 11 points, 14, 11. But then All these players that even scored under 10, you got 9, 7, 5, 5, 5. So the spread of scoring here is lethal. It's not like it's not massive, it's not huge, but the amount of different scorers continuing to tick over and tick over and tick over, like three players scoring 5 points, one scoring 9, one scoring 7, that 100% adds up. If you don't have a genuine scoring leader, like their top scorer was 14 points of Elise Noonan. So you add up all those other, you know, little incremental points that you probably don't really notice too much on a score sheet. When it gets to the end, it's actually massive.
Yeah, one I probably have to talk about is Ella Jeffrey. You're saying she's one of those ones who only scored 5 points, but she came on and just had this presence of wanting to win.
Mm.
I think she got herself to the line quite early with a great drive through to go up. And she looked like she wanted to win. She really stood out to me. And she just made sure she was getting rebounds, just doing the right thing for the team. That's probably the big thing I saw from Kyton. They were talking to each other always, and especially with a mix of young and older players, there was a lot of talk happening between them all and setting each other up for plays and things like that. And I think it's just that team win that really got them there.
Look into this weekend, the grand final of Bendigo and Kyton. We said before of how many times these two have probably matched up against each other in this grand final. What do you see? Because my point of view, I'm seeing Strawhern probably needs to see a little bit more from her. She only had 9 from the weekend for Kyton. So a little bit for more, I think, from her. Michelle Fletcher was great. She finished in double figures. So she needs to continue her performance. Bendigo, the spread of scorers is so broad. Are there key pieces that you think they need to focus on?
I think Bendigo need to sort of just keep doing what they're doing and being strong across the board. I think Poppy Blanch has been big for them, MVP from 2023, and she's definitely in that contention for 2024. So it'll be interesting to see what Kyton try and do with her if they try and shut her down and make someone else stand up.
Yeah.
But I think you're right when we're talking about Kyton. They probably just need more people standing up and getting big scores.
Yeah.
Strawhern, like you said, has been massive throughout the season, was probably a little bit quiet on Saturday. I think she needs to have a big one and get up into those mid to high 20s like she has been.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Bendigo need to look at keeping her contained because I think that's what Mildura did super well. But Kyton, they can't start like they did this weekend. It was probably too slow and let Mildura get away from them. Yes, they were able to bring it back and credit to them for that, but I don't think they'll be able to get away with the same thing against Bendigo. So they'll just need to try and keep with Bendigo, put the pressure on them. Bendigo probably haven't been pressured so much consistently throughout the season. So if they're able to pressure them, it'll be interesting to see how Bendigo then try and handle that pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. There you have it. Two grand finals in our Northwest Conference. You have Bendigo versus Castlemaine in the men, and then Bendigo versus Kyton in the women. Both games at the Red Energy Arena. Leagues HQ podcast, Ted West here with Sarah. Thank you so much for tuning in. It is finals time. Get excited. We'll catch you later.